Now, every few years in Ireland, we dust off a big constitutional idea, have a good think about it, and then put it back in the attic beside the Christmas decorations and that box of old VHS tapes. And one of those ideas is, should Irish citizens living abroad be able to vote in our presidential elections? It's been promised, delayed, promised for real this time, and now, as we edge closer to the next Oris race, quietly dropped from the to-do list. It's News Talk Daily. I'm Sean Defoe, sitting in for Ciara. The government's own diaspora strategy for 2020 to 2025 said a referendum on votes for immigrants would happen. Leo Varadkar promised it in the past. Multiple Taoiseach have promised it in the past. And that strategy talked about cherishing the diversity of the 70 million odd people around the world with Irish heritage, giving them a strengthened voice within Irish life. And yet, here we are still talking about it, but not actually doing it. So should we give Irish people abroad the vote? Who should we give it to? And if so, why should we do it at all? To help answer that, I'm joined by broadcaster, writer and friend of the podcast, Paddy Duffy, because you've been living this issue. Paddy, both personally and professionally, very welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Sean. Great to be on.
So bring us to your own story. Tell us why this is personal for you.
Well, one of the last things that I did really as a resident in Ireland was vote for president towards the end of 2011. It wasn't long after that then that I ended up going off to the UK to pursue a career in primarily television, but a bit of radio and writing besides. You know, in the 14 years that have elapsed since that vote, I don't feel like I've become any worse of a citizen. I don't feel like I'm any less engaged from Ireland. And yet here I am in Glasgow, the most notably Irish person that a lot of people in my friendship group would know. And here I am without a vote. Now, if the president comes to a Glasgow Irish centre or even, you know, a bar off Saki Hall Street, you know, chances are it's like there'll be Irish people of Irish heritage and everything else flocking up to meet them. And yet there's no way for us to sort of have any sense of it. And this despite the fact that the diaspora lever has been pulled, you know, it's almost like playing a joker in a game show for the last, like, I'd say 35 years since sort of Mary Robinson took over. And of course, you know, sort of the lamp in the window of Áras an Uachtaráin was meant to mean something. But here we are 35 years later, and we're still without purchase in terms of like the most significant symbolic dignitary that we have. And we have no way of shaping the conversation at the ballot box. The best we can do is look from afar, hope that nothing goes too wrong, and maybe, you know, whip votes among your friends and family. And I think it's a really anomalous thing, and especially coming from the border as well and seeing the situation, because this is, to my mind, the fate of northern voters as well as sort of the diaspora. Our immigrant voters are one and the same thing. So it feels particularly anomalous to me that you have a situation where, you know, my brother can vote, but somebody in Strabane just over the border from us can't, and they're about as Irish as we are. They would take great exception if they said that they weren't. And, you know, and here's me over in Glasgow, and I can fly back home in about half an hour, and I'm without it as well. So I feel like it's a really anomalous situation at the moment.
Do you feel, because obviously you've only missed one presidential election, the second one coming now, do you feel more strongly about it now, 14 years on from that last vote, than you did last time around, with more time away from the country?
I do. No, absolutely. I mean, yes, I think there's oftentimes when people say about extending the franchise, there's this fear, you know, that if we allow northerners or people that have been out of the country a while, that somehow we'll get it wrong, we'll elect some lunatic or something. I haven't seen what the voters in the Republic did in 2018, which was just the maddest thing to watch from afar. It was genuinely uncomfortable to see how that all played out. So it does mean a lot to me, and especially now, we do feel like we're at a fork in the road. I mean, I suppose it's one of those things, is, you know, like every election is the most important one. But this genuinely does feel like a big fork in the road after 14 years of President Higgins. We've got an awful lot of issues that are, you know, ceremonially and politically significant. You know, we're at probably the biggest fork in the road we've ever had as regards things around the, you know, the triple lock and neutrality and the question about NATO. And as this, you know, as the Supreme Commander of the Defence Forces, the President as you know, not a small sum to put on the scales there, to say nothing of the, you know, about what we're going to do about unity as well. And so the longer that I've been over here, and I suppose seeing the significance and the significance that an Irish president can have in the world, and especially sort of moral standing, and we think of that, you know, from, you know, through for Presidents Robinson, McAleese and Higgins, they've been tremendously good about being kind of internationalist figures, you know, and it's been a real source of pride a lot of the time.
I have to admit, Paddy, I would be of the view that people abroad, like yourself, you made a choice, you know, and that choice might be perfectly legitimate, or you might have made that choice because you didn't feel you could have a future in Ireland. There's plenty of legitimate reasons for it. But in doing that, you opted to go and live in a different country, and you pay your taxes in a different country, and you contribute to that society in a different country. So why should you then have a vote that will affect the people who stayed at home and live in this country?
Well, I suppose it is a potentially a different thing to say that, you know, if there was a diaspora constituency for the Shannon or even for the Dáil or something, which other countries do. But the presidency is different. If the Taoiseach is the head of the body politic, then the president is the head of the soul of the nation. And they spend an awful lot of their time traveling to places like Glasgow or to, you know, or to Irish centres around the world. Even in the Constitution, it doesn't say that they're the president of the Republic of Ireland. They said that they're the president of Ireland. And all that entails. And I would be of the opinion that we should be as pluralistic about what Ireland means in this day and age as we possibly can. So, yes, in terms of sort of the presidency, I think that is a very different, and I think that is a much clearer run through for citizens abroad, not least because, you know, we're constantly, like I say, we're constantly invoked in the presidential elections. There's always a clamour to talk about us. There's always a section of the lightning round and debates about us. There's often people around the council, a council of state, are they all will have somebody on the council of state to represent. And so the idea that there are people could sit on a consulting body like the council of state, but they're in no position to vote for the person who's appointed them, it feels like a real anomaly to me. But also, let's not forget that it's like Ireland is a bit of an outlier in terms of how we do this. Like, I think when the Constitutional Convention sort of sat in 2013, it identified about 14 countries that don't have an automatic privilege, I suppose, to vote for your head of state. But, you know, this has been a big year, 18 months of elections, whether in the US and the UK and Canada and Australia and France. All those countries have a mechanism in which citizens abroad can vote for their president. I suppose really what I want to do is, though, I want to make sure that Ireland and the Republic doesn't talk out of both sides of its mouth. The diaspora is very important, but let's not actually give them any say in anything. Before I left Ireland, before I sort of made a go at sort of media and everything, I was heavily involved in things like spunout.ie and sort of in youth councils around the country. So, you know, as a youth worker and everything, sort of in my experience there, I've never seen a situation where a project has been made better by excluding people.
Mm. You could also make the argument, though, that there's less jeopardy for those abroad, because if they make a vote and we end up with a terrible president, they don't have to really live with the consequences. You're not in the country. You'll still have your vote in Australia or in Scotland or wherever it is you are.
Well, I think, you know, you very much do live with the consequences. I think whatever scepticism there might be in Ireland, there is no doubting the fact that sort of whenever you live abroad, your Irishness is very clear and very front. Like, I did find it amusing, actually. I was looking at the exact wording sort of what it says in terms of sort of exemptions for people abroad. And it says that the only exemption is for people that sort of may be serving abroad or sort of on duty, was the phrase. Every Irish person that lives abroad is on duty. Everybody that is away from Ireland who is Irish, who is a citizen and has some stock and purchase in the country is always selling. We're always selling Ireland. We're always talking about it. It's, you know, it's like that old thing. It's like that bit in the West Wing and about where Leo talking about how great Chicago is. And the president said, it says, it's like, why is everybody love Chicago, but they're never there? It's a bit like that in Ireland, you know, the idea that we are separated or that we're detached from the jeopardy of it. I don't think sort of really lands for me anyway, because certainly people say to me, it's like from over here, God, your president's great. He's so, what an interesting character he is. You know, I wish we could vote for our head of state. You hear a lot of that in Scotland, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely a bit of that. Just to take the sort of more cynical point of it, that one step further, though. You could make the argument, if you love Ireland so much and you want to vote so much, come back to Ireland.
Yes, but Really, I think the debate is ultimately for me more about delivery as opposed to whether it's a good idea or not, because 2013 is when the Constitutional Convention came about this, and it was sort of waved through. I mean, like the numbers in terms of sort of in the room and in terms of sort of polling that they'd done, the idea that Irish citizens abroad or in the North should get the vote was racking up Saddam Hussein numbers, you know? And there's not a politician in Ireland, to my knowledge, there's certainly not a political party in Ireland that is against this. What I will say is that as well, is that in 2013, this was before the abortion referendum, this was before the gay marriage referendum, you know, and so some people were able to come home to vote there. Some people that had just gone recently enough that they could come back. But, you know, but why have that lottery? People that have been, you know, in London for 6 months, 12 months, the idea that they're more invested than somebody that's been there 18, 2 years, 5 years, still very much the same. And it's like, and I felt the significance of the gay marriage and abortion referendums whenever I was in London at that point. And let's not forget as well that sometimes elections in Ireland can sometimes sort of move people to come back as well, or that they can be contingent on it. You know, after the last election there, the sort of the general election that we had, I suppose people might have been expecting a kind of a, some sort of meteoric thing or some sort of seismic event of the kind of which that sort of happened in Labour. But it didn't happen, and people kind of wondered why. I would submit that an awful lot of the very voters that could have been that change ended up having to move away, or decided that actually sort of, you know, if you think in market terms, that it was a better bet to move away. We shouldn't allow this idea that, like, if there are people sort of with strongly held opinions about Ireland and about the country that it could be, just because they were frustrated about the past doesn't mean that they should be frozen out of the future.
Okay. Let's look at the practicalities then. So do you believe, because there's a huge Irish diaspora, I think there's about 70 million is the figure of people with Irish ancestry. Now, obviously, that could be people who are second generation and whatever, and there's about a million abroad who hold Irish passports or are eligible for Irish passports. So when deciding who would qualify for this vote, should it be if you were born in Ireland, if you have an Irish passport, like what would be the criteria for getting the vote abroad?
Far be it from me. I'm not the chairman of the implementation committee. To sort of more than petty, maybe. I mean, I suppose for me, I think, yes, if you are an Irish citizen, then you should have a vote. Certainly in the presidential election, I think it's a slightly different conversation, I suppose, to have. What I would like to do, really, is to have a situation where I could go to the consulate here, say, in Edinburgh, and my name would be on a list just as surely as it was if I was going to a Ballindrate National School.
Yeah.
That would be what I would like to see, certainly. You know, and the same in Strabane, you know, or Enniskillen or anywhere else in the North as well as sort of people abroad.
As much as I'm thinking there, what I'm getting at there, Paddy, really is that is foreign interference in an election? Because if it was for everyone who had an Irish passport or qualified for an Irish passport, it's not beyond the realm of possibility in the world that we live in that someone like an Elon Musk figure would fund a bunch of Irish Americans to, you know, to get their passport and get the vote and influence Irish politics. He's trying to do it online anyway. So why wouldn't someone like that try to do it in real terms?
I think sort of questions of sort of entryism or things like that, or those sort of things that need to be ironed out. And yeah, there are ways, I think, that you can mitigate against these sort of problems. Yeah, what seems to come up whenever I bring this up is that people are afraid of these kind of, yeah, sort of somebody put their thumbs on the scale like this, or that there's some way to aggregate sort of figures in favour of. But it is worth saying that this isn't necessarily an entire diaspora vote of the 70 million. It's about, I'd say, probably about a tenth of that, maybe, give or, you know, in that sort of ballpark. Yeah, I'm not blind to the idea that there could be interference, but as you say, interference is happening anyway. People sort of seem to be saying to me that there is a nightmare at the moment in terms of sort of even how the electoral register works in Ireland, or that this sort of thing could open up a can of worms. We've had 12 years now to get the ins and outs of this. Like, we could have had a state-of-the-art worm handling apparatus at this point. For some reason, we've decided to, you know, like you said at the top there, you know, we've decided to, you know, to put it back in the attic. I'm not saying that we sort of go through the gears to the point where, you know, Buzz O'Reilly, who lives in Tampa and has never been out of Florida, let alone come to Ireland, you know, is eligible to vote here. This is a case of, like, there are people like me and lots of friends of mine that I would have went to college with that are all over the world now and would like a say in who represents us abroad.
like I said, I have some reservation about the international thing. I think with the Northern Ireland thing, that's a much clearer cut argument. The 1.9, the population of 1.9 million, obviously not all those would identify as Irish citizens. So you'd be adding maybe a million votes there. Do you think with that, and if it did it internationally, I mean, you're talking about doubling, maybe more than doubling the franchise at the moment. Would it materially change who might get voted in as the president? Like, do you think the office would be a different thing in itself if the franchise encompassed a much broader, a worldwide view, really, of what it means to be Irish?
It's an interesting question, because an awful lot of the time, I think this is couched in terms of fear of who extending the franchise might bring in. But like, when you think about who has been elected in the last 35 years, I mean, like, the presidency has been transformed, really. And I would, you know, arguably, I would say for the better. I mean, it used to be almost the equivalent of a, you know, of a retirement gift for a Fianna Fáil cabinet member. You know, it was like, it's, you know, rather than giving them a nice pen, it's like send them up to the Irish for a couple of years. But in the last 35 years, you know, we have had lawyers of international standing and poets and, you know, and great thinkers, like sort of philosophers almost, as presidents. And I think it's been a terrific sort of step change. Maybe the fact that that has coincided with a bit more of a focus on the diaspora and on international issues. I think that the populace abroad, and indeed in the North, I think would only lean into that instinct more, to be honest. I don't think it would necessarily be a situation like, you know, like what we've seen, say, in France, you know, where people were voting against, you know, the Rallye National in big numbers. It would bolster this idea, this kind of president that we choose, that's sort of somebody that has an interesting background, that sort of that thinks deeply about world affairs, that sort of thinks plurally about what Ireland is. And so it's as much about Glasgow as Galway and everything else.
Yeah, I wonder, is there a fear in Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil that those who are emigrated may have a worse view of them or blame them for their need to emigrate, and then that feeding in. Final question, Paddy, to bring this maybe on a wider view, we're talking about the presidential election. What about the franchise for Dáil elections or for the Shannon or for, you know, to have a say in the way this country is actually run, because the presidency is largely ceremonial?
Yes, well, I would be in favour of it. And I mean, I know that people sort of bring up the no taxation without representation argument quite a bit, but you kind of have to think of that as a long-term investment. For example, sort of coming from Donegal, one of the biggest issues at the moment is the sort of the case of defective blocks. So if I ever was to come back to Ireland, finding a house that isn't going to literally fall apart would be a fairly pressing concern for me. Even though I'm not paying tax in Ireland at the moment, the issues that are affecting Donegal sort of might affect me in a much more material sense 5 or 10 years down the line. And also, you know, like, I think we have to take the long game here. Like, I mean, in issues of around, you know, the environment, or sort of around sort of education and health and things like that. Like, bear in mind, like, you know, I am over here in the UK now for about a dozen years. I feel spoiled rotten by the NHS. If there was a vote, even if it was a constituency, you know, like an extra constituency of emigres or something like that, I would imagine that the priorities that they would have, or the things that they'd be lobbying for, people that would be looking for, you know, a sort of advanced NHS style healthcare would go right to the front. Yes, I would be. I'm very much in favour of it. And I think that anyone that is concerned about that, I think sort of needs to take the long view on that. It's not necessarily about people that have left and are never coming back. The fact that people would want the vote in the first place indicates that this is something that they're looking at, and they want an Ireland to come back to that looks better than the one that they left. And I think for that reason alone, I think it would be worth having a constituency for people that live abroad.
Paddy Duffy, broadcaster and writer, thanks a million for joining us on News Talk Daily to chat through all of that. And if you want to read a bit more into Paddy's arguments, he has a very good article in the Irish Times, which you can look at. I have to say myself, I would totally disagree with the Dáil elections. I think you go abroad, you lose your vote, that's it, tough. Come back if you want to vote in Dublin Bay South. But the presidential election, maybe you could talk me into. An interesting chat there with Paddy. That's it from today's podcast. We'll be back again tomorrow morning, bright and early. And if you want a little bit more on the presidency, there's a new episode of Let Me Explain with myself out today, looking at whether this presidency is going to be a two-horse race. Is it just going to be Mairead McGuinness and Catherine Connolly on the ballot, American presidential style? That's actually happened 3 times in Irish presidential elections. We're running through the history of that. But we'll be back again in this feed tomorrow morning. Until then, enjoy the rest of your day.